Good morning, Shavuot Tov. I would like to extend our study of Kodshim, our overview and introduction to Kodshim, to talk to you about the Beis HaMikdash itself, if we're dealing with Kodshim. And I want to hone in on a Rambam and see if we could use that Rambam as, in a sense, a keresh kvitza, you know, a sort of a board from which we could take a jump into Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah of Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash before Shlomo HaMelech, and the Beis HaMikdash after Shlomo HaMelech. What's unique about the Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo HaMelech? So we'll dedicate, in Mirtz Hashem, the first part of our discussion today to the Beis HaMikdash. And we'll begin with a very, very famous Rambam. The Rambam says that the Kedusha Rishona, the first Kedusha, was that of Shlomo HaMelech. And he sanctified, says the Rambam, Kiddush Ha'azara v'Yushalayim l'Shaitan u'li'asid lov. What the Rambam is claiming here, and this is a long sugya Masechta Gitna elsewhere, is that the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash, which was engendered by Shlomo HaMelech at the time of the first bias, is an eternal Kedusha. And even after the Churban HaBayis, the Makom HaMikdash, and for that matter, all of Yushalayim, is Kidsha Liyasid Lava. The balance of Eretz Yisrael, beyond the borders of Yushalayim, that's Kidsha L'Shaita V'lo Kidsha Liyasid Lava. And that sanctity derives, says the Rambam, from Ezra and the Olei Bavel, which is called Kedusha Shnia, so that when the Bayis was rebuilt at the time of Ezra, which is, of course, 70 years after the Churban HaBayis Rishon, then the Kedusha somehow spread, says the Rambam, from Yerushalayim to encompass all of Eretz Yisrael, and that Kedusha is Kidsha L'Shaita V'Kidsha Liyasid Lava. Now, again, this is a major sugya in Kodshim about Kidsha L'Shaita, the Kidsha L'Asid Lavo, or Kidsha L'Shaita, the low Kidsha L'Asid Lavo. We're only going to focus our attention on one particular point in the Rambam, which may seem, at the face of it, Maika Mashbala Pshita, but yet it's going to open up a whole discussion based on a sugya in Masechta Zvachim. The Rambam says that the Mikdash was sanctified by Shlomo HaMelech. Now that may seem, again, as I said to you at the outset, very simple, Pshita. But it's not Poshit at all. Because the Rambam is talking about the Mokom HaZara, and he says that the sanctification of the Mokom HaZara was engendered by Shlomo HaMelech, and that's Kidsha L'Shaita V'Kidsha L'Yasid Lov. That's against a sugya in Masechta Zvachim, and that sugya in Zvachim is on Daf Chof Dalit. The Gemara there, based on the halacha that the Kohanim, to do the Avodah, it's not enough that they're in the Azara, but their feet have to have direct contact without any hefsek with the Ritzpas HaZorah. And if the Kohanim, for example, were wearing shoes, the Avodah is Psula, because then there's a Hefsek that separates from the feet of the Kohanim and the HaZorah. The Gemara then wants to know what happens if Nekra Evan Halazara. So you have the Azara, the Ritzpas Azara, and one of the stones was removed. The Kohen is standing on the place where there once was a stone, but right now there is no stone. And the Gemara vacillates back and forth whether or not his avoda, this Kohen's avoda, is kshera or not. And it all depends, the Gemara says, of whether or not it's Ritzpah Elyona Kidesh or it's Ad V'Tahoma Kidesh. Was the Kiddush of the Azara just the upper layer of the Ritzpah? Or does it penetrate all the way down to the Tahom, to the very core of the earth, so to speak? All that is beautiful, a very nice suffix in the Gemara. But why is this contradictory to the Rambam? Because the language of the Gemara is Ki Kaddish David, Ritzpah Elyona Kaddish, O Dilma Ad Di Aris L'Tahoma Kaddish. The Gemara says explicitly that it was David HaMelech who sanctified the Azara, and the Gemara therefore vacillates back and forth, did David HaMelech sanctify the Azara, just the Ritzpah on the surface level, or penetrating below that? Nafkamina, if the coin is standing on that area where there once was a stone, but no longer is a stone. How do we reconcile this sugya with the Rambam? The Rambam says explicitly in Perek Vav Milchus Beis HaBechira, as we quoted earlier, that it was Shlomo HaMelech who sanctified the Azara. The Gemara says black and white that it was David HaMelech who sanctified the Azara. If you take a look, for example, in Tosus there in Zvachim, he writes, Diafal gav de Shlomo bona es habayis, even though it's true that Shlomo HaMelech was the one who built the Beis HaMikdash, David Kidsha, says Tosus there in Zvachim Samach Dalet, that it was David HaMelech who sanctified the Makom HaMikdash, including the Azara. The Rambam says that the sanctification of the Azara and the Makom HaMikdash was achieved by Shlomo HaMelech. How do we reconcile that with the sugya that says it was David who sanctified the Makom HaMikdash, the Azara? Now, the truth is that there is one sugya elsewhere in Shas, of all places in Masechet Shmuel's, that does apparently support the Rambam, because the Gemara says in Masechta Shmuel Daf Tezayin that Kiddush is B'shas Binyan. Now, it was only Shlomo HaMelech who built the Bayis. So that what we'd have to really analyze, but it's not for us today necessarily, is how does Tosfos in Masechta Zvachim, who says that David HaMelech, as the Gemara seems to explicitly say, was Makadish the Azara, and it was Shlomo who only built the Beis HaMikdash, how does that square with the Gemara in Shmuas that says that the Kiddush was B'shas Binyan? David HaMelech was not B'shas Binyan. But leave that on the side for right now. We're asking a question on the Rambam. How could the Rambam maintain that it was Shlomo HaMelech who sanctified the Azara when the Gemara says that it was David who sanctified the Azara? Now, if you think that that's a difficult question, I have a worse question for you. The Rambam seems to contradict himself. Because the Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchos Melachim, writes that B'sholosh mitzvos nitztavu Yisrael b'shas knisosim li'aretz. There were three mitzvos that became incumbent upon the people of Israel when they entered into the land of Israel. And one of them is livnos beis habechira, to build the beis hamikdash. Shenemar, and the Rambam derives this from a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, and there it says, L'shichno sidrishu ubasa shama. And this pasuk, L'shichno sidrishu, means to find the Shechina by building a Beis HaBechira, and the Shechina will now reside in the Beis HaBechira. And then the pasuk says, Ubasa Shama, when you come into the land. So the Rambam says that when you enter into the land, the nation of Israel is obligated to build the Beis HaBechira. And how does the Rambam know this? Because L'shichno Sidrishu Ubasa Shama. Basa Shama meaning when you enter into the land, L'shichno Sidrishu. So if you ask me, where in the Torah, does the Torah obligate us to build a Beis HaMikdash? The answer is black and white. In the Rambam himself, at the beginning of Hilchos Melachim, the Rambam says that that mitzvah is derived from L'shichno Sidrashu Bas HaShama. Well, guess what? The Rambam contradicts himself. Because the Rambam opens up Hilchos Beis HaBechira, and he says, Mitzvah Saseh Lasos Bayis Lashem Shenemar V'asu Li Migdash. The Rambam is totally oblivious to the Pasuk L'shichno Sidrashu in Parshas Re'eh, and he quotes the Pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Truma, V'asu Li Migdash. By the way, on the side, V'asu Li Migdash was the command that Hashem gave to Moshe Rabbeinu to build a Mishkan in the Midbar, which lasted for 40 years. But that Mishkan is called a Migdash, explicitly by the Pasuk, because it's sanctified with Kedushas Migdash, which is really fascinating when you think of it, because then the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash, which the Rambam codifies for all generations, is derived from the Pasuk of V'asu Li Migdash, applies even outside the land of Eretz Yisrael. Haraya, this Pasuk, this mandate, was addressed to Moshe Rabbeinu where? In the Midbar. And that's the source for all generations to build the Beis HaMikdash. And then you open up the Rambam Hilchas Melachim, and the Rambam says, no, the mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash is only engendered when we enter into the land because of L'shichno Sidrashu Bas HaShama. So how do you reconcile these Rambams? And again, I'm not so much, you know, as an introduction to Kodshim, I don't know if we have to, learn brisket Torah about the Rambam sheet and how to reconcile the Rambams, but in this case, I believe that this is so fundamental about the, all of Kodshim depends upon the Beis HaMikdash, as you'll soon see. The question is, what is the Beis HaMikdash? And if we assume, as the Rambam implies at the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, that the Beis HaMikdash is the Mishkan, and therefore Moshe was mandated to build the Beis HaMikdash in the Midbar, then whatever the Mishkan is, it's a Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam establishes that that mitzvah of the Asu LiMikdash is the source for the mandate, the mitzvah in Taryag, of building a Beis HaMikdash for all generations. And yet, the Rambam himself says that we're only obligated to build a Beis HaMikdash when we enter into Eretz Yisrael, not like the Midbar and the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. And entering into Eretz Yisrael, we're going to derive the source for the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash is L'shichno Sidrashu Bas HaShama. I mean, I understand very well the Rambam doesn't have the luxury of quoting the Pasuk of V'asu Li Migdash, because V'asu Li Migdash is in the Midbar, and the Rambam wants to establish that the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash is only when we enter into the land of Israel. He has no choice but to quote the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh of L'shichno Sidrashu Bas HaShama. But nevertheless, it begs the question, because the Rambam says that in all generations we're obligated in this mitzvah in Taryag of V'asu Li Migdash. And yet the Rambam opens up Hilchos Melachim by telling us that the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash is derived from the Pasuk L'shichno Sidrashu Ubas HaShem. What we derive from this entire discussion is a very fundamental breakthrough. And we'll see how this impacts on the halacha of Bamos, which is such an important halacha with regard to Kodshim. There are two dimensions and two different mitzvos to build the Beis HaMikdash. It's not one, but it's two. One is codified by the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. The other is codified by the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. What is the difference between the two? There's one concept which is called the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash depends upon what we call Kedushas Mechitzos. And Mechitzos means that we set up walls around an area, and the area that's surrounded by these walls is sanctified with Kedushas Mikdash. That Kedusha is not dependent upon Eretz Yisrael. The sanctity of Migdash which is engendered by building the walls around an area, is derived from the parasha of Mishkan and the mandate given to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar of the Asuli Migdash. And whenever we build a Beis HaMikdash and we establish walls around an area and we sanctify that area, that Kiddushas Migdash is a mitzvah that's derived from the Pasuk of Yasuli Migdash. And so, there were many Batei Migdashos. After the Midbar, we entered into Eretz Yisrael, there was Nofi Givon, later on there'll be Shiloh. All these areas and all these places have a full-fledged Kiddushas Migdash that's engendered by the Mechitzos. And that mitzvah is not dependent upon Eretz Yisrael. It could exist even in Chutz Laretz. Then there's a different mitzvah. Very similar, but should not be confused. And that's the mitzvah of Beis HaBechira. Not Beis HaMigdash, but Beis HaBechira. The mitzvah is called Beis HaBechira because, A, it is engendered by a choice of a very specific place. We're not talking about mechitzos now. We're not talking about setting up mechitzos. We're just talking about finding the right place, the right location. How do we find that right location? The Torah commands us to find that location. And that's called L'shichno Sidrashu Ubasa Shoma. L'shichno means for the Shechina, Tidrashu, seek out the Shechina, meaning find the place of the Shechina, and that's called a Beis HaBechira. Why is it called Beis HaBechira? Why is the mitzvah Beis HaBechira, which is in a specific location in Eretz Yisrael, and obligates us to find the area and locate it? The Torah always says, HaMakom SheYivchar Hashem. That's a refrain in the Torah. But the Torah doesn't always say exactly where this area is. We're enjoined to find that area and locate it. And that's called the mitzvah of Beis HaBechir. Why is it called Beis HaBechir? L'shichno Sidrashu Basa Shama. Beis HaBechir means that once that area is chosen, there never ever could be another location on the face of the globe that could be a makom of Avodas HaKorbanos. Kodshim could only be brought and exclusively brought in the Beis HaBechira. And this leads us to the concept of Bamos. Bamos means that you and I, as private citizens, as Yechidim, could set up our own private altar. Sounds pretty cool. But that mitzvah of setting up a Bama could only apply, excuse me for one moment, before Beis HaBechira. Based on this, we can understand what the Gemara means when it mentions David HaMelech, and when the Rambam writes that we derive the mitzvah of and the Kedusha of Azara from Shlomo HaMelech. What David HaMelech was doing, he was identifying the Mokom HaSheYivchar Hashem such that now his son Shlomo HaMelech would build a Beis HaBechira on that Mokom HaSheYivchar Hashem. And now David HaMelech is going to designate the area and the location for the Beis HaBechira. As far as the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash is concerned, that's not the mitzvah of Beis HaBechira. That's the mitzvah of V'yosuli Migdash that's derived from Parshas Truma, and that's not limited to Eretz Yisrael because we're not defining it as a Beis HaBechira. The Beis HaBechira mitzvah is going to be fulfilled by Shlomo HaMelech, but who's going to set up the area, the location, and the Kiddush? It's going to be none other than David HaMelech. So when the Gemara vacillates back and forth as to whether or not the Azara is only on the surface level where the Evan is, or it goes down below the Evan all the way to Tahom, that's the Kiddush of the Beis HaBechira, which was effectuated in its first stage by David HaMelech, who chose the Makom HaBechira, again with the consultation with the Navi, Gad HaNavi, who told him exactly where it is, and then he went ahead and he sanctified it. And then Shlomo HaMelech, by building
a Beis HaMikdash in that sense, in that spot, now clinches what's called a Beis HaBechira. There can never, ever be another place on the face of the earth which you can call a Beis HaMikdash or even a Bama. And that's the Kedusha that was engendered by David, about which the Gemara vacillates if it goes all the way down to Tahom. However, if you're talking about Kedushas Migdash in terms of Mechitzos and setting up the, you know, the walls that engender Kedusha, that dates back all the way to the Midbar to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's going to be the source for building a Beis HaMikdash for all generations. So that, for example, when they built a Migdash in Shiloh, what we call Mishkan Shiloh, that's a fulfillment of the mitzvah, V'yasuli Migdash V'shachanti B'socham. And that mitzvah is not limited to the Beis HaBechira in Yerushalayim on the Har HaBayis. And that's a fulfillment of creating an area that's surrounded by mechitzos and fulfilling the mitzvah, V'yasuli Migdash V'shachanti B'socham. Okay, then, let's now get back to our sugya in Pesachim on Daf Nun Ches Omer Aleph. We're up to Mesve, which is about halfway down the Amud, and if it helps anybody, it's a little bit above Tosis Divya Maskil Ella Lirova. And now the Gemara is going to quote Rava Bar Ula, who has a question, an objection to Rava. Okay then. Maskif, oh, just one second. I'm sorry, Mesve, we're up to Mesve. Mesve, the Gemara asks the kasha on Rava. Now let's just review that according to Rava, if Erev Pesach coincides with Shabbos, then Rabbi Shmuel says Kisiduro b'yomos hachol di'alma, and the Karban Tamid is shechted at Shmona Umechtz at 8:30. Now let's read the Braisa. Now the first part of this Braisa quotes Rabbi Shmuel, and therefore it should make sense according to Rava. The Braisa says that Tomid kol hashana kula karev kilchaso, that the Karban Tomid the whole year round should be shechted at Shmonu Mechza. The Karev b'teisha umechtza. The Gemara Hakrova is an hour later. However, b'erev Pesach nishchat b'sheva umechtza v'karev b'shmona umechtza. On erev Pesach, as we saw in our Mishnah, the Tomid is shechted at sheva umechtza. That's not the kasha. The kasha is from the next line. It says chal lios b'shabbos. What if erev Pesach is on a Shabbos? Is kichal lios biyom sheni b'shabbos. There's no difference between Erev Pesach on Shabbos and Erev Pesach on a Monday. In both cases, the karban is going to be shechted at sheva u'mechza. And that's against Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That's against Rava, because Rava interpreted Rabbi Shmuel as holding in the Braisa that on Erev Pesach kichal lios b'shabbos, the karban is shechted at 8:30. And that was based on the equation theory, if you follow what I mean, to equate this with the other Shabbosos of the rest of the year. How do we reconcile this Braisa, according to which Rabbi Shmuel holds that the time for the Karban Tamid on Erev Pesach Shalios B'Shabbos is the same as the Shabbos of Yom Sheni, which means that if Erev Pesach falls on a weekday, we bring the Karban Tamid at 7:30. According to Rava's interpretation of Rabbi Shmuel, the Karban Tamid is brought at 8:30. Let's finish the end of the Braisa. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kisiduro, be Erev Pesach. Rabbi Akiva holds against Rabbi Shmuel that the time for the Karban is going to be not at Shmona V'chetzi, but at Sheva V'chetzi. So that if Yudalit B'Nisan Erev Pesach coincides with Shabbos according to Abai's presentation of Rabbi Yishmael, is Kisiduro Bechol B'Erev Pesach, which we said in the Mishnah, is at Sheva U'mechza. Bishlema L'Abaye Nicha. Abai is explicit. Rabbi Shmuel is telling you the time of the Shkitas HaPesach on Erev Shabbos on Erev Pesach on Shabbos is B'Sheva U'mechza. It's exactly what Abai transmitted in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. El Rava, but according to Rav, who says that according to Rabbi Shmuel, the time of the Shkitas HaPesach, I'm sorry, the Shkitas HaTamid, on Erev Pesach Shchalios, B'Shabbos is Shmona U'mechza. And again, if you recall, according to Rava, we held that according to Rabbi Shmuel, we worried about Michmar Bisra, that if we start the process too early, then the Korban Pesach will get spoiled with the passage of time. And therefore, we have to delay the Korban Pesach to Shmona V'chetzi. Here in the Brisa, Rabbi Shmuel is recorded as saying that the time for the Shkitas HaKorban on Erev Pesach Shchalios B'Shabbos is Sheva V'chetzi. Amalecha Rava says, let's reinterpret the Brisa. Lo Tema, don't say that according to Rabbi Shmuel. When Erev Pesach is Chal on a Shabbos is Kechol B'Sheni B'Shabbos, it's like the case of Erev Pesach on a Monday. Ela Ema, but rather reinterpreted as Kesheni B'Shabbos, the Alma, not on Erev Pesach, Shechal Lios B'Shabbos, but rather, I'm sorry, not like Erev Pesach Shechal Lios B'Yom Sheni on a weekday, but rather like a regular Karban Tomid the whole year round on a weekday, which is at Shmona V'chetzi. The Gemara now asks another kasha, Meisve, this is a kasha now against Abaye, from an additional brisa that records the Machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. And now we're going to see that according to Rabbi Shmuel, the time of the Shkita on Erev Pesach, when it's Chal on Shabbos, it's going to be Sheva V'mechza, which doesn't bother me per se, but the time for, let's just see, I'm sorry, that according to Abaye, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Sheva V'mechza, and according to Rabbi Akiva, it's Sheish V'mechza, is Meisvei. The Brisa says, Chal, if Erev Pesach Lios B'Shabbos, is when do we shech the Tomid Kisiduro, Kol Hashana Kula Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, which means that we're going to shech the Korban Tomid at Shmona U'mechza. That's against Abai, and it supports Rava, because Abai identified Rabbi Shmuel's time for the shechting of the Korban Tomid on Shabbos of Erev Pesach as Sheva U'mechza, and here it says Shmona U'mechza, exactly reflecting the Shita of Rava. Rabbi Akiva Omer, then what's the time for Shkita Satomin? Kisiduro bi Erev HaPesach. Which means that if Erev Pesach falls on another day of the week, and we shech the Korban Tomid at Sheva U'mechza, so that Rabbi Shmuel holds Shmona U'mechza, and Rabbi Akiva holds Sheva U'mechza. Now the truth is that nothing really works out here according to Abaye. Not Rabbi Shmuel and not Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Shmuel is quoted as saying that if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, then you bring the Tomid at Shmona U'mechza, whereas Abaye had it at Sheva U'mechza. Not only that, but Rabbi Akiva is quoted as saying that the Karban
Tomid on Erev Pesach Shchalios b'Shabbos is b'Sheva Omechza. And if you recall, Abaye wanted to get the carbon Tomid at the earliest possible time, which was Sheish Omechza. B'Shleim Ola Rav HaNicha. Everything works out beautifully according to Rav, because Rav had said that according to Rabbi Shmuel, in a case of Erev Pesach Shchalios b'Shabbos, you shech the carbon Tomid at Shmon of Omechza, exactly as it's recorded here in this price. According to Rabbi Akiva, Rav says that you shecht it at Sheva Umechta, exactly as it's recorded in this price. El Abaye, who says that according to Rabbi Shmuel, the time of the Shkitz HaTomid on Erev Pesach Shalius B'Shabbos is Sheva Umechta. And according to Rabbi Akiva, it is Sheish Umechta, is Kasha. Nothing in this price reflects the opinion of either of the two Tanoim as presented by Abaye. Omelcha Abaye, Lo Tema, don't think that when Rabbi Shmuel says that the time of Shkitz HaTomid and Erev Pesach Shchalios B'Shabbos is Kisi Duro Kol Hashana, meaning when he says Kisi Duro Kol Hashana, he means a regular day of the year, the entire balance of the calendar year, which we bring the Karban Tomid at Shmona Mechza. No. Ela Ema Kisi Duro Kol Hashanim Kulan. It means that we're talking about Erev Pesach of all the years, not the balance of the year, meaning any day of Chol, which is Shmona Umechza, but rather it means as if it were Erev Pesach of any day of the week, of any, you know, it's not Erev Pesach. So Erev Pesach of Shabbos equals Erev Pesach in general, even when it's not Shabbos, but it's Chol. So the Chol is not a reference to the entire balance of the year, but rather to Erev Pesach Shchalios B'Chol, when the carbon is brought at Shevo Mechza. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kisiduro Be'erev Pesach. And what is he referring to? Erev Pesach Shchalios B'Erev Shabbos. This is the Friday case. If you remember, that has the additional problem that we have to get the Tzlias HaBosor before nightfall, because on Friday we don't have the option of being Docha Shabbos with the Tzlias HaBosor. We got to get it in before Shkia, and therefore Rabbi Akiva insists that we take the earliest possible time to bring the Karban Tamid, and henceforth the earliest time to bring the Karban Pesach. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a Braisa, Minayin Shalo Yehei Dovar Kodem L'Tomid Shel Shachar. Now, we spoke, if you recall, about Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim. And now the Gemara is quoting a Braisa regarding Tomid Shel Shachar. And the basic structure is that all Karbonos of the day on a daily basis have to be sandwiched between two bookends. The Tomid Shel Shachar has to be the initiator, the first carbon of the day, and the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim has to be the last carbon of the day. So all the carbonos have to be brought in between. Like, for example, on Shabbos, we're going to bring a carbon Musaf. So the Musaf is going to be between Tomid Shel Shachar and Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim. If you bring a carbon of Dava or a Neder, you're going to bring that between the first Tomid and the second Tomid. The only exception to the rule we said was Karban Pesach, which we derive from Psukim, the extra Ba'erev, to teach you that you bring it after the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim. But now the Gemara wants to know, in this Braisa, from whence do I derive the conclusion that the Avodas HaKarbonis in the Beis HaMikdash has to be kicked off? The kickoff Karban is the Tomid Shel Shachar. Minayin shelo yei dover kodem litomid shel shachar Talmud lomar. So I'm going to read the whole pasuk to you. It says in Vayikra perek vav, v'ha'esh al hamizbeach tukad bo lo sichbe ubir oleh hakohen etzim ba'boker v'yarach oleho ha'ola v'hikter oleh chelvei hashlamim. So again, the pasuk says Ubir Oleho Hakoin Eitzim, and that's what we call the cedar myrochi, you know, to set up the logs of wood on the Mizbeach. And then it says, V'orach Oleho ha'ola, which means that after we do the Seder HaMaracha, that's called Ubir Ole HaKoin HaEitzu, immediately following that is the Ola. What Ola? It says in the Pasuk Ha'ola with a Hey Ayidia. That Ha'ola is a reference to the Ola Satomid. And after you set up the Maracha, what are you going to be Maktir on this Maracha? On this Maracha? It's got to be the Tamid, meaning the Tamid Shel Shachar. Nothing else can be brought on this Maracha before you bring the Tamid Shel Shachar. The Gemara says, Umay Talmuda. Okay, it says Ha'ola. Nice. But how do you know that the word Ha'ola is specifically referring to the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar? So the Gemara says that Ha'ola, now the Torah could have said V'yarcha Le'ola. Why does it say Ha'ola with the additional Hey? Is that's coming to teach me Ola Rishona. That's considered a very special Ola. It has Chashivus. It's with a Hey Ayidia. Ha'ola. And what is that Ha'ola? That's the Rishona, the first Ola for all the other Olas in the Seder HaKorbanos. So if you open up to Parshas Pinchas in Bamidbar Chaf Ches, you'll see that on a Moed, for example, the Parshas Pinchas tells you the Seder of the Korbanos HaMoedim, but it begins with the Olas HaTamid. And therefore the Olas HaTamid should be the Rishona. It should be the first Korban that's brought on the Mizbeach immediately after the Seder Maracha, and that's called the Arach Aleha HaOla. The Ola, which is given a very special prominence in the Parsha of Korbanos in Parshas Pinchas, and there in the Seder that's brought down in the Torah puts the Ola with a Hey HaOla of the Tamid first on the list. Now, I'm going to see if we can fit in a very intricate note here that's based on other sugyas in Shas, in Mesechtos Yoma, in Mesechta Bar Metzia, and we're going to derive from the word Ha'ola that is mentioned first before all the Olos in Parshas Pinchas, that Ola is the Ha'ola with the Chashivas of the Hey Ayidia, and it should be the first Karba. So that's a Gemara in Yoma Daf Lamed Daled, in Bav Metzia Daf Nun Hey. And what Rava is saying here of Ha'ola, Ola Rishona, is derived from the fact that this Ola is mentioned first in Parshas Pinchas. On the other hand, Rashi mentions the extra Hey, and that teaches us that it's the Ola HaRishona. So the Hey Ayidia indicates that this is the first Ola, and it's got the Hey Ayidia. And how do you know that this Ola should be brought first? Again, maybe it has Chashivus, but it doesn't mean it has to, that Chashivus has to manifest itself in bringing it first. But the answer is because in the Pasuk of the Maracha, as we saw before, the Torah tells us to bring Ha'ola right after the Maracha of the Eitzim. So the Achronim, based on this Rashba, want to reconcile the two Rashis. That on the one hand, Rashi seems to indicate that the word Ha'ola with a Hey Ayidia tells me it's the first of all Karbanos. On the other hand, Rashi elsewhere in Shas, in Yoma and in Bava Metzia, seems to indicate that Rava is based not on the Hey of Ha'ola, but rather on the fact that it's mentioned first in the Seder HaKarbanos. And we can reconcile the two, that although it's written first in the Seder HaKarbanos, how do we know it's got to be the first carbon of the day? Because Torah tells us right after the Ketores, I'm sorry, right after the Seder HaMarocha, immediately we bring the Ha'ola, which is a reference to the Olas Tamid. Now, another discussion that comes up here, and Mr. Shem will get to it, if not today, tomorrow, is why do we need a pasuk to tell me that the carbon tamid is the first carbon? We have a general universal principle of tadir v'sheinu tadir tadir kodem. And that itself should regulate the law that carbon toda should be the first, carbon tamid should be the first carbon of the day, because there's no other carbon besides the carbon tamid that has this very special tadir that every day of the year we bring the carbon. Okay. Now the Braisa continues. Uminayin she'ein dover karev achar tamid shel bein arbayim. So you've already derived the conclusion that the tamid shel shachar is first. How do we know that no karbonis can be brought subsequent to the tamid shel bein arbayim? And the answer is Talmud Lomar. The pasuk there in Vayikra Vav says v'iktir olea chelvei hashlamim. Okay, Aleha is referring to the carbon toda. I'm sorry, I keep saying toda, I mean tamid. And the tamid here in this pasuk is referring to the tamid shel boker, shel shachar. So my Talmudah, what do you see in this pasuk? V'hiktir Aleha chelvei ashlamim. How does that teach you that you're not allowed to be makriv any karbonos after the tamid shel bein arbayim? Omer Abaye, Oleha, meaning after you've already brought the Tamid Shel Shachar, which is mentioned in the earlier part of this pasuk, then and only then can you bring Karbano Shlomim, Velo Al Chaverta Shlomim, but the Chaver of the Tamid, which means the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim in this case, you're not allowed to be Makriv more Karbano Shlomim afterwards. So the Shlomim have to be brought before, I'm sorry, after the Tamid Shel Shachar, but not after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Maskif le Rava, Ema Shlomim hu delo nakriv ha'olos nakriv. If you're deriving from this pasuk that you're not allowed to bring karbonos after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, then you should be limited. The pasuk is talking about Shlomim. It says explicitly Shlomim. How do you know, for example, if I want to bring a karbon olo, which is a classic neder or nedov, I can't bring it after the tamid shel bein arbayim? If you're deriving it from the pasuk shlamim, you have to limit it. Ein lechabo michidusho to shlamim. And therefore, Rava says, Elam Rava, how do we derive that you cannot bring any karbonos, even olos, after the tamid shel bein arbayim? And the answer is that it says hashlamim. And in the pasuk, the extra hey of hashlamim, because it could have just easily have said v'hikter aleh chelve shlamim, the hashlamim is changing the whole root of the word. The root of the word now includes the hey. Now, when you inject the hey together with the shin and the lamid and the mem, then what you end up is with the word hashlem. Whole different meaning. Hashlamim, Aleha Hashlem, Kol HaKarbonos Kulo. In other words, complete the entire process of Karbonos for that day with her. Who is her in this case? With the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. That's going to be the Hashlem, that's going to be the Gemar, or the tashlum, if you will, of all the karbonos of the day. And that's called hashlem kol hakarbonos kulam. So now I'd like to ask you the following question. This is going to be an introduction to the sugya on daf nun tes. If you take a look for just a split second, you'll see on daf nun tes amud aleph, a tosis divra maschil osi. And the question is going to be, how do we define or classify this din of Aleha Hashleim Kala Karbonos Kulam? Are we dealing with a lav, an isu? The Torah is saying that Aleha Hashleim, meaning Hitir Aleha Chalve Shlom, that you're enjoined from being makriv after the Tomen Shel Bein Arbaim any other karbon. That's a lotase. Or shall we say, no, it's an essay. It is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tomei Shel Bein Arbaim, that the Tomei Shel Bein Arbaim should be brought as Olea Hashlem is called Karbonos Kulam, and that's a kium, that's a dimension in the fulfillment of the Tomei Shel Bein Arbaim. It's not an isur that the Torah is engendering, which is called a Lav HaBomechal essay, but rather it's a mitzvah saseh. And the difference is going to be in what's called esse dochalosas. And that means that if you have an esse that collides with the losase, then the esse overrides the losase. However, if you're talking about bringing a carbon after the tumid was brought already, the tumid shall be in our bayim, then for the sake of that carbon and the mitzvah therein, you want to override what? The lotaseh? That's good. If Olea Hashleim is a lotaseh, so esei docha lotaseh. If, on the other hand, this is the kiyum of the mitzvah of Tomei Shel Bein Arbaim, that should have that additional dimension of being Olea Hashleim, then it's quite possible that although you may have a mitzvah to bring another carbon, but that mitzvah does not have the power to undermine the kiyum of Hashleim in the mitzvah of Tumid. So that's something that Polinetto will pick up tomorrow. So let's return for a moment to this Hay of Ha'ola, from which we derive that the Tumid Shel Shachar is the first carbon of the day. And it says here that the Torah is talking about the Ola Chashuva, which is written first in all the Olos in the Seder of Parshas Pinchas. That's how Rashi interprets it here. And if we look at Rashi in Yoma and Bav Metzia, as we said earlier, there Rashi seems to derive it from the extra hay, which indicates... I'm sorry, not for the extra hay as much, but from the fact that Ha'ola, that's written Rishona in Ha'ola, Ola Rishona, Shemeos Hei Yesh Lumot Sha'ola Tehei Rishona Lalos Al Gabi Amarocha She'i he says here Hahei Ayedila Shemeni She'ola Ayedua Bekach She'i Kreva Rishona L'Shar HaKarbonos. So whereas Rashi here in Ausugim Psochim emphasizes the fact that in Parshas HaKarbonos, the Olas HaTomid is listed first, that's the language Rashi, you'll see it about 8 lines up from the bottom of the Omud here, Hainu Olas HaTomid in Parshas Karbonos, the Karbon Tomid Ksib Bereisha, but Rashi elsewhere in Shas, doesn't refer to Parshas HaKarbonos in Pinchas, but rather simply the Hay of Ha'ola is all we need to know. And Yesh Lomo Me'ahei, Me'os Hay, Sha'ola Tehei Rishona, Le'olos Al Gabi Hamarocha. And the language of the Rashba here is that according to Rashi elsewhere, it says Ha'ola with a Hey Ayedia to teach us that this is the Ola Hayedua Bekach Shehi Kreva Rishono L'Shar HaKorbonos. And the impression you get is that the Hey Ayedia is enough to teach me that the Tomid Shel Shachar is first of the Korbonos. We don't need to refer to Parshas Pinchas. This pasuk alone, which is in Vayikra Vav, in Parshas Tzav, I don't need Parshas Pinchas, will tell me that the Shachar is first.
So when the Gemara says my Talmuda, it means, how do we know that the Torah has in mind to teach us that we should bring the Karban Olah first? Maybe the Torah is only telling us that we should bring the Karban Olah on the Marocha of the Eitzim, but not necessarily first. And that's what the Gemara is trying to find out here and answer the question, my Talmuda. And the answer is either because of Parshas Pinchas or because of the hay. Now, Tosus there in Masechta Yoma, in the same spot on Daf Lamed Daled, points out that Ola Rishona means the Karban Tzibur Rishon, Shekri Vavosenu, that chronologically, in the terms of the history of the world, the first Karban Tzibur that was ever brought by our forefathers, and that was at the time Matan Torah, it says, in the end of Parashas Mishpatim, it says, Vayishlach es nari b'nei Yisrael v'yalu olos v'yizbechus v'achim l'ashem parim. And the Gemara says in Chagig, according to one opinion, that when it says olos, this is a reference to the Olos HaTamid, and that was the earliest Karban Tzibur that was ever brought. That gives it a special status. It was the first of all Karban Tzibur that was ever brought in history. And Tosfos in that sugi that we mentioned before about Metzia, he writes that it's called Rishona, the Ola, the Tamid Shel Shachar, because Al Yoda Mechanchim Es HaMizbeach, that when we build and establish a Mizbeach, a new Mizbeach, the first carbon that we bring on the Mizbeach, to be Mechanich the Mizbeach and sanctify it, is the Ola Satamid. And that's based on a Gemara Masechta Menachos on Daf Mem Tes, that says, Ein Mechanchim Es HaMizbeach Ela B'Tamid Shel Shachar. Now, Tosus here, Dibir Maskil Ha'ola, which is the last Tosus here on Nunchesam and Beis, asks a kasha from Masechtas Vachim. The Gemara there derives that the Karban Tamid is the first Karban, and it comes before Karban Musaf. From the Pasuk at the end of Pinchas, it says, Milvad Olas HaBoker Ashel Olas HaTamid, which implies that the Olas HaTamid was already Asuya, was already brought. So why do we need two Psukim as far as this is concerned? We need one Pasuk here of Zos, of V'arach Aleha Ha'ola, and now we have another Pasuk of Milvad Olas HaBoker Sheli Olas HaTamid, which means that the Ola was already brought. It was the first Karban. So why do we need these two Psukim? So Tosus gives the following answer. We'll see maybe if we get to it, another answer that he offers. But his first answer is we need two Psukim. One with relationship to Musafim, and another one with relationship to Nedarim Unedavos. And we cannot derive one from the other. We could say that Musafim is a Karban Tzibur, and that's why it comes before the Tamid. And then we could say as far that Nedarim Nedavos we should be Makdim before the Tamid, because they are Mitsuyim Yoser. They are very, very common. So we need two psukim to teach us that don't use the svara of kedima to bring these karbanos before the tamid shel shachar, but rather the tamid shel shachar is first. And that's despite the fact that you want to bring a karban tzibur or a common karban, which is called the darman adavus. And Tosus offers another approach. He says that the Gemara here in Masechta Pesachim that derives the halach of Tamid Shel Shachar being first from the parish of Haktor Al Gabi Marocha, meaning that the Tamid Shel Shachar after the Haktor Al Gabi Marocha should be first to be Makriv after the
flame has been organized. But as far as Shechita and Zrika Saddam is concerned, we couldn't derive any conclusions. Therefore, we need the Pasuk, the other Pasuk, that's speaking about the bringing of the Karban, which means the Shechita and the Zrika, the Karban, that even as far as Shechita Zrika is concerned, we have to be makdim the Shechita and the Zrikas of Dama Tamid before all the other Karbanos. So according to Tosfos' second answer, the Hava Mina here, if not for the second Pasuk, was that, okay, fine, you'll do the Hakrava first, on the Mizbeach. You know, the Haktara Gav Mizbeach will come before any other Karban. But as far as the process which culminates in the Haktara, namely the process of Shechita and Zrika, that doesn't have to come first. You can start the process of other Karbanos first, as long as the Haktara Gav Mizbeach, it's a Din in Mizbeach, that's where the Ola has to come first. So therefore we need another Pasuk which addresses the Asiyas HaKarban, which means the Shechita and the Zrika, that there too we need Kedima. So Bli Neder, tomorrow we'll begin here at the bottom of Daf Nun Ches Amid Beis, Tan Rabbanan, two lines up before the end of the Amud.